Hi everyone, it's Eli. You know how sometimes you stumble upon something truly game-changing in healthcare? Well, I found it. Kinetisense. This cutting-edge motion capture technology is transforming movement, assessment, and recovery. Imagine getting instant AI-driven insights without any wearables on your patient. That's right, no ping pong balls needed. Just pure, accurate data. Perfect for boosting athletic performance, pinpointing imbalances, and refining rehab. Top professionals worldwide trust Kinetisense to maximize productivity and results. Check out our partner page to learn more. Experience the revolution in movement. Welcome to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More, the podcast that gives you a viewpoint in sports medicine that can't be found anywhere else. I'm your host, Eli Halleck, and we have a fantastic show ahead of us today. So let's get started. Welcome today to Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More. We are taking a right turn today and going in a different direction. We're not going to be talking about athletic training, but we're going to be talking about sports medicine, athletic training, health and safety of our patients, of our athletes, whether that's a youth sports, high school, or college, let alone pro. It doesn't matter where you're at. This company has helped protect us for several years now. I know on my campus, they were an integral part of getting through this past year with all the changes to state laws that threw everybody into a tizzy fit back in the summer. And my guest, Marshall Knowles, knows what I'm talking about because he lived it with me, with many of us. So I want to welcome from Perryweather, Marshall Knowles. How are you doing today, buddy?
Good, good. Thank you so much for having me on. I always wondered if I would get an invite to this. So it's pretty sweet that after we were in CATA for a little bit, that we were able to, with the help of Gabe, of course, get this all set up and get it together.
Well, we've been through so much, and your device, your company's device was so integral in, allowing us to play last year. It was a little bit of craziness out here in California with some of the new laws that we were expecting, but we didn't all understand the finite information that was coming out. We didn't read the clauses, so to speak. We sat there going, wait a minute, what? I know it caught me off guard. Maybe, Marshall, let's go ahead and start off with, how'd you end up at Perryweather? You know, where you kind of grew up as far as professionally, how you got into Perryweather and what Perryweather does.
Moved up to Dallas after college and actually got into Perryweather. I was working at a previous company and was in Nashville for my wife's aunt's wedding and got a call in the middle of the day about this opportunity. He gave me a little bit of a rundown on the company. A bunch of our CEO, COO all went to the, we share an alma mater. And so they kind of used that as a way to lure me into to wanting to take a look at it. And then after going through the interview process, decided that it was kind of something that I wanted to take the jump to. At the time, there was still a lot of remote work going on. And this is we're in office 5 days a week. And that's kind of what I was looking for, to be with my coworkers and get to know everybody through that way. And so, took the jump and have been here since June of 2023. So I'm coming up on 2 years now and I've loved it every step of the way. And Perryweather is basically just a weather safety company. Our motto is that we just want to take the guesswork out of something like weather safety, right? So I always say that in the Southeast and Northeast and Midwest, you've got heat and lightning. And then along the West Coast, you've got heat and air quality. Those are kind of the two big hitters there. And so, like you mentioned, we work with oil and gas companies. We work with school districts, private and public, colleges and universities like USC and Stanford and you guys' neck of the woods, all the way to professional sports teams like the Los Angeles Rams, also in y'all's neck of the woods. So we've got a pretty wide customer base and have, as you know, just recently kind of grown out in along the West Coast. And you were one of the first to take that jump. And, you know, I know one of the things that you brought up is that the legislation and mandates took a while for everybody to get accustomed to. That went into place in July, and you guys came on board, I believe, in March. So you just think about that runway that was required to get accustomed to everything that was going on, even for somebody that was early to it, like you all were at St. Francis. It still took a little bit for everybody.
I appreciate that. Now you mentioned your alma mater, you might as well go ahead and say it.
Do I need to though? No,
Oh, you
we
know.
so no, I no, we'll say. So I went to spent my college years in College Station. I went to Texas A&M. When I first got hired, we have a pretty good mixed bag here at Periweather. We've got Arkansas, UT, Missouri, but our leadership, our CEO and COO went to Texas A&M, so I was told the first 3 months that I was here, the only reason I got the job was because I went to Texas A&M. So that's it.
You
That's
gotta
what.
love that. You gotta love that.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm sure that makes for some interesting Mondays after a good or bad game.
Yeah, it makes for some pretty sad Mondays, truthfully, if I'm being 100% honest. I always tell family and friends, I'm like, if my parents really cared about my mental health, they would have encouraged me to go to Alabama or Georgia or something like that. And instead, I went to Texas A&M. And so it's just a little joke that I make to everybody about that.
I love that. That's funny. So your background is really business, which is appropriate because you're in the sales area of Periweather. But you are one of the first faces that we see, so it's important to have that face and that personality that you can trust and get comfortable with. Obviously, you have that. We met over a year ago at the time, and I know you said we onboarded in March. Well, we started the conversation in March. We signed up in April. Because we didn't realize it, we had a system. We had a system that we've been using for a while, I think about 10 years. We used to use, like everybody, an app. And I realized that that app was inaccurate when the school, literally 30 yards from our back door, removed their weather system. And all of a sudden, the closest one was 3 miles away. And the reason I would never use it. It was always off a couple degrees and a couple humidity percentage points compared to the one closer to our campus. So I started wondering, well, probably should be more accurate. Let's get a little weather system. And we did. And it was fine. I thought we were good. Then we're reading and we're talking, and a couple colleagues go, this new bill that just got signed. What bulb globe? What the hell's that? I don't know. My AD asked, are we okay? I'm like, dude, we've been covering heat, humidity for years. I don't understand what this wet bulb globe thingy is. Let me look into it. Oh my God. I sat there going, oh, we're in trouble now. We got to change out the system. And that's when we met you. So good timing on my part, good timing on your part. Periweather stepped into California. And as we discussed, you guys never been to California really because there wasn't a need.
No, you're absolutely right. And so our leadership spends a ton of time towards the end of each calendar year, kind of prepping with how we want to attack each specific territory the following year. The role that I was in previously, I'd done a decent job getting meetings set up for schools in California. The secret to that was that I was terrible at the job, and so I would stay late in order to call along the West Coast to get some more reps in. And so I ended up getting better at it through calling along the West Coast. And then obviously I had the previous rep that was in California. She was incredible, kind of took me under her wing. She's still here with us, thank the Lord, because otherwise we would be lost without her. And so she kind of took me under her wing, and we were started getting all these meetings set up in California. But to your point, nobody would actually purchase anything. Everyone was just kind of like, yeah, it's really cool. Our weather's incredible. Thank you very much. We'll maybe stay in touch. That's great that you work with Stanford, but we're not Stanford. And so the conversation kind of just ended there. And so with the way that our leadership divvied up territories at the end of 2023, part of my territory was the state of Texas, and everybody was like, oh, you're going to do incredible in West Texas. Well, then in the middle of January, through relationships that we built the year before or the end of January, we just completely scrapped that plan because of athletic trainers in California saying this legislation is going to take place starting July 1. And then we just quickly sprung into action and started finding different conferences like CADA, like CSADA to start attending, to go to get our name out there. And really from February to probably May, we were just the bearer of bad news because we would call different
Ain't that the
schools.
truth? Yeah,
Right.
that's exactly what it was.
We would call different schools and say, hey, we have word that this law is going to take place. And schools that we work with now, we're just like, we'll believe it when we see it. We'll wait until that actually takes place. And then finally, after CSADA, word started to pick up. Athletic trainers, directors of sports medicine start telling their ADs. And then probably June up until the end of last year, and the momentum is still rolling. I mean, last year, I think that in, I don't know what the exact stats are, but I think that last year before February of 24, we had one high school in the state of California. Now we work with over 60 private schools, 60 different districts. It's grown a ton, especially where you guys are at in Southern California. And so, yeah, once that ball started rolling down the hill, it didn't really stop. And now we've been able to grow great relationships in the state, in the high school world, which we didn't previously have before.
Yeah, and it all came down to that law, which caught most of us off guard just a tiny bit. I mean, we understood, and I tell you what, we did this whole episode, and you know it, last summer on this new law, how it kicked in, and CIF endorsed it and helped push it, and it was really about protecting and the safety of the student athletes at any level, but with CIF, it was definitely at the high school level. And when they threw in the wet bulb globe, that really decreased what we could use. There are some handhelds out there and they're okay. But if they're not set up just right and calibrated just right, they're wrong. And we're supposed to track for those athletic trainers that don't remember this, and or maybe they don't know yet. We're supposed to track daily, if not hourly, if not every half hour, what the heat, humidity, temp, and the wet bulb globe temperature. That's the thing. The WBGT is every 30 minutes to an hour. Because let's face it, it could change. And we all sat there going, we got to do what? And on the market, there aren't really many that can do that. Actually, there's only one. And you guys got it quartered at the moment. I mean, it really works out in your favor.
And especially with the air quality offering that we have as well, getting paired with that, that's kind of what, in my opinion, that's what the tipping point was for most schools in California. Was one, of course, it's going to make your life easier when it comes to the wet bulb globe temperature piece. We got all different sorts of one of the schools we work with now, I won't name it, but when we reached out to them, they asked if we worked for a company called Wet Bulb Globe Temperature. And we were like, the company is not what it's the that's the metric that we're trying to track. But regardless, and so with us having that black bulb sensor on the station, that's what's taking that reading for everyone. And I mean, it's now wet bulb globe temperature has kind of moved all the way from Florida, Georgia, through Louisiana, Tennessee, Texas, so on and so forth. And California was kind of the last, big domino to fall. And so we just felt like we were the best solution at that time, and only keep getting better.
I would totally have to agree with you. I mean, I'm looking at an image of the device, and this one's at Thomas Downey High School, Modesto City, California, which is about 3.5 hours up the road from me. And it's kind of funny. You look at it, you see the device, just like us at St. Francis, we chose to do the solar panel. They have the solar panel on it to charge the battery. They've got the wet bulb globe. They've got the temperature gauge. They got the spinner so they know the wind speed. Everything's there. And then you got the, like you said, the AQI, and tying in the AQI, let alone the lightning detector, those three things. So you got the wet bulb, you got the air quality, and you got the lightning, which are mandatory now in the state of California. You must. Before it was kind of understood, you did it as an athletic trainer. Now you must by law do it and track it. And that's one thing that your device does is it tracks it and it keeps the history. We can download it anytime, check the metrics and see where we were, see if we did everything right. Did we do something wrong? And let the coaches know, yeah, no, see, here you go. We're good to go. No problem at all. Now, the one thing we don't see in California and I see this on another image, two big bullhorn looking sirens on that. And I think that's more for the Midwest, Texas area. What would that be?
Yeah, so those sirens will automatically sound off whenever there's lightning in the area. So when there's a strike within that specific mile radius, really what everybody cares about, whether you're in California, Texas, Florida, the lightning capital of the world, it's that 10-mile radius, right? That's when we're pausing play for 30 minutes until, we're clear of a strike. Those sirens will go off when there is lightning detected within that 0 to 10-mile radius. That way that there's a way of alerting the general public as well. Because as you know, only a handful of people get these alerts depending on how the school likes to set it up or customer likes to set it up. And so those sirens are mainly for the public. We work with a lot of parks and rec departments who keep those at their baseball fields, summer camps, whatever it may be. Pools are a pretty popular one as well. That's mainly what those uses are for. It's also just for anything school safety related, right? So, I mean, it's got a text-to-speech functionality with it. We've had some head football coaches that will maybe send a colorful text through with if there are students out in the field that aren't supposed to be, and we can report it will pick up that language that goes through there. So mainly for the Midwest, Southeast, South, but we maybe have a handful of California customers that like adding those on as well.
Does it help keep track of, especially in the Midwest, severe storms? I mean, lightning, but what about tornadoes? Does it have that capability, or is that a completely different system?
It can sound off for tornado warnings as well. What a lot of school districts will do that end up getting the sirens is we can preset messages within the app to sound through the speakers whenever there is tornado. Some will do it for wet bulb globe temperature, severe thunderstorms. God forbid if there's a school shooter or something like that, just so that you have some sort of safety provided there. So it can serve multiple different purposes, but we typically see it, like you mentioned, in the Midwest, Southeast, here in Texas. A lot of our Texas schools have it for tornado warnings, lightning, anything that they'd like. They can always just preset that message in there.
That's good to know. I hadn't even thought about, and I hate talking about it, on-site shooters. Yeah, that would be a good system to just PA it out and let everybody know what's going on.
Yeah, the goal is to never need to use it, but God forbid.
Yeah, exactly. Just like a AED on campus, you hope not to
Yep.
use it, but if it's there, at least you got it.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, how many systems are there currently? Or approximately, how many systems you guys have up and running across the nation?
That is a great question. I can't even give an estimate on that. I can say the states that we have the strongest presence in are for sure going to be our home state. We're based out of Dallas, so Texas is big. Georgia is massive for us. California is now massive for us. Florida, the Carolinas are big. And for different reasons too, right? Like the Carolinas are real big for us in schools, but also in golf. Florida is massive for us in schools, but also golf and in cities. California is massive for us in schools and professional sports teams also. And so it's hard to put an exact number to it because, for example, Modesto City Schools, that's one customer that we work with, but there's like eight weather stations throughout that school district right there. So it's hard to say. I'm sure that I could find an exact number, but I mean, I just off the top of my head, I'd probably be even underselling it a little bit.
All righty then. And you brought up one thing that I found interesting, and it makes sense to me knowing what I know now. The Rams, Los Angeles Rams, they play technically in a dome, but it is open. It's more of a mesh ceiling. I didn't realize that till I actually went to SoFi and engaged in that stadium. And oh my God, it was so cool. But they actually halted a game because of lightning. I remember sitting there going, why? And then we went down and the sides are open. So, I mean, you can get a side shot of lightning strike, but it could go, I would think, through that material.
The Rams, I believe their big reasoning for wanting it was at their practice facility. But then, of course, as you can track multiple different locations, just like you can just add SoFi as one of those locations there, and you're getting the best Lightning data that you can get no matter where you're at. That app will follow you. Our professional sports teams get it for so many different reasons. I think that the Commanders got it and have those speakers that you were just talking about, and they put those speakers up at each one of those light poles that kind of have, you know, if it's like E6, so that you can remember where you parked after the game. And they put it around the stadium for safety purposes, for tailgating and for the general public to know when there's lightning in the area and so on and so forth. So not only are they using it, you know, the Saints are another one, but not only to use it for just the athletics purposes, but also again, just alerting the general public. But we work with so many different sports teams that, you know, everybody has their own reasoning behind what they want to use it for.
That's a smart use on their part because it's mitigating liability, which is, I mean, health and safety is one thing, but at that level, somebody gets struck on your grounds as they're getting ready pre-gaming, you're going to be found liable. So if you are out there mitigating the potential, that's a good thing. That makes sense. I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, everybody has their own use cases for it. And that's kind of even just in the high school world, everybody's campus layout is a little bit different. Some facilities are only off campus, some are all on, you know, it depends. And so, you know, you kind of got to figure out what's the reasoning behind this making ATs, directors of sports medicine, ADs, you know, life's a little bit easier.
And you know, you mentioned stuff on campus, stuff not. I've been at a couple high schools in my career, and the first one where I was the full-time head athletic trainer was fantastic. It was all on site. Everything was pretty much flat. We were built on a hill, but it was a gradual slope from the upper campus down to the football stadium. Where I'm at now, I mean, we're not as fortunate. We still got all the facilities. But we've got our cross country course, which is always off campus for any school. It's about 4.5 miles away. Our baseball field is a straight shot 2 miles. If I was Superman and could fly, our pool that we borrow from another school is in a different direction about 2 miles. Or if we're borrowing one of the pools next door, it's a quarter mile to a couple hundred yards from campus. And our golf course is about 3 miles down the freeway, the other direction. And it really sets up for an interesting range of areas. And what I like about Perry Weather is that one system, because we're centralized, it acts like a kind of spoke and hub situation. It can throw out those spokes and it can really gauge everything in the appropriate area and bring it back. So we have the information to send those coaches, send those kids, and keep them safe.
Absolutely. And one of our biggest benefits to it applies to all schools, and whether you're a massive school district or a singular private school, right? But as you know, once you come on board, you now have access to that network of Perry weather stations. So if you went to go play, say, a high school football game, the state championship is being held at the Coliseum, you're now pulling data from the Coliseum because it does no good to know what's going back on at St. Francis unless you need to be alerting those coaches. You need to know what's going on where you're currently at. And so not only does that central hub help out, but then also being able to tap into other weather stations just kind of makes sure that, one, you're getting the most site-specific information, and two, that you're getting it in a manner that makes sense, right? It does no good to know if a lightning strike happened minutes ago, or if what the wet bulb globe temperature or air quality was minutes or hours ago, right? It's like we need to know what that is right now in order to make the best decision for the kids.
I got to be honest, that's one of the big reasons we went with Perry Weather when we sat there last year and went, we've got to do something. We got to pull the trigger and make sure our kids are, well, first, are safe, but secondly, we got to follow the law. And it was all in one package. I mean, there it is, good to go. You've got everything you need: lightning, wet bulb globe, and air quality, which in Southern California, that's always a concern. I mean, we've got heat, we got humidity, nothing like the South, nothing like Georgia. And we'll get to that in a minute. But it gets hot and it gets nasty. I mean, I'll be honest, we had coaches. For those of you who don't know, where I work, we were only a half mile away from the Eaton Fire in January. And let's just say I was checking AQI and it was up there. I mean, we were close to 700 on one day, actually several days. And I was able to use the application that you were just talking about and go to other schools in the area to get different shots and different views of the fire. And see, well, how close is it getting to my school? And it was getting close. I mean, we were watching it on one screen from the image from Flint Ridge Sacred Heart Academy. We were watching it come across the hillside. And then we were fortunate enough we can lock into another camera from Flint Ridge Preparatory School, which is a couple hundred yards away from our school, but their camera's in a different direction. So I could see how much closer it was from their camera. With those three cameras, ours, Prep's, and Fasha's, we were able to gauge what was going on and what our chances were of the survival of our school. It gave us a little bit of understanding. I tied in all the admin and they got to see and they were looking and we were keeping up to date. So that's a huge and really good attribute for the system. But it's also kind of cool. Like you said, I'm pulling up Stanford right now and it looks comfortable up in the bay right now.
It's probably one of the best camera images that we have too. That picture of the stadium out looking at the mountains and stuff. That's one of my favorites. But I mean, I remember earlier this year, you and I jumping on the phone looking at the different camera images during the fires and kind of just monitoring that from there. And what piques everybody's interest to take a look at something like Perry Weather, I always tell everybody this, is athletics, but then it just ends up turning into an all school safety thing, right? Like it ends up turning into something that a lot of principals use our meteorologist support if they have an outdoor graduation planned. And it's something that you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, I mean, we have this. We might as well use it. If you're hosting a track and field meet, if you have a big homecoming game that night, if it's a field day at one of your elementary schools, and we want to make sure that the weather looks good coming in. It serves so many different purposes. And when the fires happened, that's never something that you plan to help for, right? Like that was just something that tragically, just out of nowhere occurred. It was just we were just happy that everything was able to work. And kind of one of the benefits of you guys having the units run off the solar panel, right? Because if you would have connected to direct power, those might have gone out with everything else.
Oh yeah,
And
no, we were
so,
done. We were done if we didn't have that solar power. Those were awesome.
yeah. And so it you never know how it's going to help out, but that's I always think that that's the interesting part is when we first tried getting into California. Everyone in California just told us how perfect everything was, right? And how, it's the best weather. It never gets too hot. We don't get lightning. We don't get severe thunderstorms. Maybe air quality every now and then. And then once they get it, then they realize, okay, yeah, this is probably something that we could have benefited from here and there.
Elevate your knowledge, ignite your curiosity, and compete with the best minds at events hosted by the American Academic Competition Institute. AACI's sports medicine competitions feature practical exercises, challenging quizzes, specialty tests, and keynote speakers that foster knowledge and social engagement in healthcare and sports medicine. Go to aacitest.org for more information on upcoming regional and national competitions. Sign up for the Ultimate Intellectual Showdown. And one thing that's interesting, I'm sure you have it on the radar, is right now there's another pending bill that would make AQI heat index, wet bulb globe index, excuse me, wet bulb globe temperature mandatory to know for PE classes in the state of California.
That we found out about in October. We always seem to find out a month after something like this happens in the state of California. And I think it was approved in September and goes into place January 1, 2026.
Is that when it is?
So
Okay.
yep. Yeah, that's when everybody needs to have something. So a lot of schools right now are we're meeting with in preparation for that. Now that there's kind of a, if you're not already a customer that has everybody's interest piqued in the state right now, at least.
I know we were talking with a few people over the summer after all the melee of this taking effect. You said that our current law took effect back in July, which is true, but we didn't hit those special guidelines that we'll get to that was based out of Georgia until middle. So July 17th, July 18th, we had a big sit down with the state and on Zoom, and they kick out this information. Whoa, you're giving us these guidelines that were supposed to take effect 2.5 weeks ago. And we were basing them on these categories. You never told us what category we're supposed to be in. And now you're telling us what the hell? What's going on here? And people might be going, well, what are you talking about? So in the state of California, we have the state law kicked in on July 1st, 2024. And many of my colleagues, a lot of us athletic trainers, believed it was a step in the right direction because all too often coaches just want to play ball. It doesn't matter if it's football, baseball, lacrosse, tennis, they just want to play. They want to keep their kids safe, but every now and then there's a gray area and they tend to lean on the, go ahead and play. They use the data from Georgia, and we go back to Georgia because they did a huge study in Georgia that really set up categories, category one, two, and three. And in those regions, category one, two, three, you have different colors. And I'm slightly colorblind, so I'm going to guess at what colors they are. And Marshall, if I'm wrong, please let me know, because I hear I'm wrong about colors all the damn time. So in the normal activity, which is green, if you're in category one, your temperature range is 76 or anything below 76.1 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if you're in category two, so your school's in a category two area, is 79.7. So right off the bat, you're at 3.6 degrees difference. But it's not really 3.6 degrees because it's a wet bulb globe temperature. And it's some funky calculation that's way beyond my math. So I've got to trust this device. Now, if you're at category three instead of category two, it jumps up to 82.0 degrees Fahrenheit. So category one, which the best way to talk it in California, it's going to be a coastal town. I mean, you're talking Santa Monica, Malibu, Ventura, Santa Barbara, and SoCal. Those have the nice, cool climates. And then you get out to the desert, which is in some cases only 30 miles away or less, and they're used to a hotter, drier climate. So at 82.0 degrees Fahrenheit, category three, that's a normal activity. Shoot for it. Now, then you jump to yellow, and this is where you use discretion for intense or prolonged exercise. You should have minimum duration of 4 minute break every hour just to be on the safe side for each kid. And again, we have those different breakdowns, and they give you a range. For example, 76.3 to 81 in category one, category three, all the way up to 82.2. Then we jump down to orange. And this is where for football, it became a little bit difficult. Maximum outdoor practice time is 2 hours in the orange category. And every hour you need a minimum of 4 minutes of break. Players are restricted to helmet and shoulder pads, shorts during practice. If the wet bulb globe rises to the level during practice, players may continue to work out wearing full pads without changing their shorts. Having said that, we're looking at category one, 81.1 to 84. So, okay, you're on the coast, it's 84.1. You're jumping up to the red zone. But if you're at 81.0, you can practice as long as you want within reason. But 81.1, and think about it, that's not very hot. You are limited to 2 hours of practice. Then at the red zone, this is where we get really concerned. You're only limited to 1 hour practice, no pads, 20 minutes of rest breaks during that 1 hour. And then in the black, 86.2. And I'm saying category one, no outdoor workouts at all. That's a lot of info. Green, yellow, orange, red, black. Black is a no-go. You're done. I got to tell you, that was shocking for us to find out in California, because it was based really in Georgia information, correct?
So I think that it was based, I think that they were assigned from either, I don't remember if it's the Corey Stringer Institute, which is a part of UConn, I believe, or if it was in Georgia. But from my perspective, meeting with different ADs, ATs, directors of sports medicine, risk management in California, the way that I always tell people is everybody who's in category one thinks they should be in category two. And everyone who's in category two thinks they should be in category three. And it does no favors that a state like California has all three categories. Because most states, I think, just have one. You know, in Texas, you're category three. It doesn't really matter where you're at. I believe you're category three wherever you're at. And I don't remember who told me this. So I think that I was speaking with them at NATA last year. But the way that these categories were assigned was, I believe, based off of metropolitan airports. So they went based off of that data in order to assign, kind of paint over a large area to say, okay, well, all these schools are category one, and all these schools are category two, and all these schools are category three, when it's a little bit more nuanced with that once you actually have either, you know, a system at your exact location. And I know that that's what a lot of schools that you've communicated with have had conversations with officials in the state of California, basically saying, look, if we send you our data, will you consider moving us? Because we maybe shouldn't be in this category. We should be in two, or we should be in three, or so on and so forth. But that was never going to happen when the only data was coming from the nearest metropolitan airport. And, you know, Lord only knows how far away that is from your specific campus.
And having gone through that, and you guys were awesome. Your on-call meteorologist gave us lots of data, lots of help. They helped us figure out the wet bulb globe so we could adjust our previous ranges and previous data to an appropriate WVGT reading. We sat there and took data and went, look, here's where we're at. And once we got you guys on board, I mean, it just download, here we go. But it's true. We found out the hard way that they did use the metropolitan airport. So, like in California, LAX, which is only about 25 miles by freeway. Straight shot, it's about, I think, 15 to 18 miles from my school. And let me tell you, as we found out, there could be a 30 degree difference in
Oh,
in that. Yeah.
it could be massive based on that radius right there.
So when they started using that, we found out they're using Burbank Airport out by us, which is a lot closer, but that's in the San Fernando Valley, which is usually we're looking for a guy with horns and a pitchfork in the middle of summer to walking around because it's just hot. It's so damn hot, but it's dry heat, which doesn't really matter to me. It's just damn hot. And you compare Burbank to Ontario Airport, which now I'm talking regional airports. I mean, the temperatures are just so varied. But in the beginning for us, the problem was they were using the two main coastal airports. They were using LAX right on the water and Long Beach. Hey, look, the word beach is there. Yep, right there on the airport or right there on the beach, that airport. So a lot of us were put into that category one. And with your data and proper use of data, we were bumped into category two, which allowed us to practice, I believe, in a safe manner. We never wanted to make it unsafe. But back to one of your points, everybody in category one wants to be two. Everybody in two wants to be in three. Everybody in three wants you to create a category four, which was funny. Yeah, somebody said that. I'm like, well, you got to go back to the drawing board on that one. I don't know what to tell you.
It took a long time to get accustomed to. And I mean, you think about everything that you just read on that chart. Nobody has that memorized off the top of their head. So if you go out there, the odds are if you're using a handheld device and you go out there and take that reading, and then somebody tells you, okay, that's it, an 86.6, what are you supposed to do? I mean, what are the odds of somebody saying, oh, okay, this is what now needs to happen, right? That's the hard part about it. And the goal is, because everybody thinks, oh, well, you know, they're going to take us off the field and yada, yada, yada. The goal is for student athletes to practice. It's good for your mental health. It's good for your physical health. It's a great way for friends to all get together. You know, it's, you want to do it in a safe manner. And I remember when data was being sent with, I think that if I remember correctly, the way that they interpreted it was, Perry weather data and a handheld device, right? And I think that one of the big things that came out from Perry weather data versus a handheld device was the Perry weather data was so consistent throughout the day that you were able to get a better understanding of where you were at a specific time of day. So at noon, it's going to be this. At three, it's going to be this. At five, it's going to be this. Eight, the next morning, it's going to be this. Whereas I think that handheld users, some of them had no data whatsoever. Others weren't, setting it up properly. So you would get these random spikes that, and in the middle of the day, I guess we're just not practicing it, or in the middle of practice, I guess it's just cut for the next 30 minutes. But then once we come back, then we're going to be able to have practice as usual. And it's like, okay, so it jumped multiple categories based off that time, right? It's I think that a lot of it showed just where the consistency of having something stationary benefits not only athletic trainers and athletic directors, but also the student athletes as well. Because, if you're a student athlete, we all played high school sports, right? The last thing you want to do is keep you get in the flow of a practice, you get in the flow of a game, whatever it may be. You don't want that to just be stopped out of nowhere, and then you all of a sudden lose your groove there. So the idea is, we want people to practice. We don't want you to constantly be pulling people on and off.
And the key is we want them to practice safely. That's really what it is. We're looking for the health and safety and the well-being of our student athletes. And nothing against the handhelds. They serve their purpose. They are cost effective. But one of my colleagues that was very close in proximity, we were going back and forth as all this was happening. Hey, what's your reading? Hey, what's your reading? And his reading with the handheld was 3 percentage points different. And if you look at the, and again, I've got to scroll up to look at it because, like you said, I don't have it memorized. 3 points difference or 3 percentage points difference, 3 point difference could be the difference between being in the yellow to the orange or the orange to the red or maybe even the black. He had a day where he was in the black and he said, well, what did you guys do? Oh, we were able to practice for 1 hour. We were red. He's like, what? What are you talking about? We were clearly in the black. I said, not according to my Perry weather device. So there is some with the handhelds, there is the potential for some inaccurate readings, user error, so to speak, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's the big one is user error is, I mean, it can be as simple as your thumb is just in the wrong place. You're taking the reading too low. It needs to be taken at above a specific height. And if that's not the case, then I mean, there's so much variance that can be associated with it. We also just hear that they get stolen a lot. And I don't really know what that's all about, but you might just have one sitting at your desk and I don't know if it's a student or something just goes up there and takes it. And so then, what was once X amount is now double because you got to go get more of them. And so, yeah, there's a whole different side of that. And then again, there's just the compliance and liability aspect of it as well, that if in the circles that you run in, it's no issue, but we have met with athletic directors who have been very transparent that they don't know if their AT is one, doing it right, or two, doing it at all. And if something were to happen, somebody needs to see, well, why were you even out there? Why were you doing this in the first place? And you have nothing to back it up. That's a huge issue.
And I got to be honest, that's one reason I do like the device. I'm sitting here looking at the view of my football field. I'll say it, mine, our football field. I'm looking at nights. I'm looking at our field house. I can see what the weather's like. But more importantly, I can go to my dashboard and see the temperature, precipitation feels like wet bulb globe is 54.7 with a slight 2 mile an hour wind out of the east. But I can pull up history. I can pull up the last month or two, I forget exactly what it is, and download it instantly. I want anything else? No problem. I call you guys, say, hey, I need this data. Can you package it up and send it to me in an Excel file? And I get it. It's fantastic. And it was the difference between following the rules easily, then getting our category changed. And the difference was we got to play when some schools, unfortunately, were out of luck. Thank you for that. I truly appreciate it. The student athletes at our school appreciate it.
I was going back through it in my head earlier today before we jumped, or earlier this morning before we jumped on. And I was thinking, I was like, when did Eli and St. Francis come on board? And you guys were the third, including school district, just the third school that came on board. It was pretty wild how early that was. It felt like that was just yesterday to think of how much has happened in between now and then. It's pretty wild to see the growth that we've had over there. And also just being a part of that network that you guys have in Southern California, the ATs and sports medicine group there is such a tight-knit group. You, Tim, Kirsten, y'all throw me in some awkward positions dogging on each other sometimes, but it's still a great group to be a part of, that's for sure.
It's fun. It's fun to tease each other. And I'll give a shout out to Tim over at Loyola. If memory serves, they were the first high school to get it installed up and running, and then they became a proponent of it quickly. And Tim, myself, Kirsten over at LA Unified, big proponents of the system. We talk it up all the time. Anybody has questions, we're always willing to answer. But damn it, yeah, Tim got it first.
But yeah, there was, if it makes you feel any better. So Tim was the first that came on last year. I think that up until February of last year, the only high school that we had was Mater Dei. And Mater Dei came on board, just it was perfect timing. The rep that had California before me said that they jumped on a free trial and a storm rolled through Southern California and it helped them out a lot. And they were like, oh, okay, this is great. Let's do it. And so they came on first. But other than that, it was USC, Stanford, Berkeley. And so then when we go talk to other schools and they ask, well, who do you work with? And you're like, USC, Stanford, Berkeley, Mater Dei. They're all like, well, we're not USC, Stanford, or Berkeley. So how does this fit into us? And it's like, no, they just happen to come on board first. We work in all shapes and sizes depending on your organization.
Let's talk about the small schools. That's what they want to hear, because it's great to
Yep.
hear Stanford, USC, Cal, and all the biggins. But let's talk the normal schools like Sierra Canyon, LA Unified, Downey High School in Modesto, some of the other smaller private schools, public schools that are afraid of the payout, because it's not a cheap system. It's an annual fee, but I tell you what, it's cheaper than one lightning strike hitting a student.
And I'll also say this, the smaller the schools, then there's normally less staff there, which means that one person has more responsibility than, let's say, a
Very
Stanford
true.
or a
Very true.
USC, where, that sports medicine group, operations group, event management group, they have an endless supply of people at St. Francis, at Loyola, at Sierra Canyon, at Oaks Christian. They don't have the faculty and athletic staff the size that these colleges and universities do, which is all the more reason why it's a great fit for them, because then they don't have to be running around on some schools on a golf cart, some just running around all their athletic facilities. And then for school districts, we don't work with LA Unified yet, but we're trying to get there. But with a school district like Modesto City Schools, for example, if you're the director of risk management, you can at any given moment go see what any of those schools are doing without even needing to be there. And so I think that for just as much as it helps with, USC, obviously, if they have Michigan or Oregon coming into town, it's a high stakes operation. ESPN College Game Day, everybody's going to be there and you're going to need to get it right. And so that's a big selling point for them. But for a school like St. Francis, I mean, we can't have you, Eli, just running around to each campus or each coach or each athletic facility telling everybody what they're supposed to be doing. And so when you have that greater scope of work, it's all the more reason to just kind of let us take one of those things out of your hands.
It is nice to have a colleague, so to speak, on my phone telling me, hey, here you go, distribute. And it automatically
Right.
distributes. I'm not the bad guy.
That's
Periweather's the
also
bad
what
guy.
we hear is that if we jump on with an athletic trainer or an athletic director, they'll kind of tell us, they're like, yeah, our head coach, our head football coach will, you don't want to be the AT that walks up and is kind of like, hey coach, we got a break here for about 4 minutes. And they're like, are you kidding me? And so now they just turn and look at their phone and they're like, yeah, get mad at Periweather. We'll give you the support number. You can call and yell at them.
Yeah, go right ahead. My coaches like to look up because we have it over the field and you can see it up on the building, and they shake their fists. And I'm sure they're saying a couple colorful words at that point.
Right.
But two little quick stories about the device. Now, I'm looking at an image of it right now, and all those cinder blocks that you guys swore up and down would hold up. And when we had these fires out here back in January, we had 100-mile-an-hour winds. And I'm sitting there going, well, they said all those cinder blocks on that platform is going to make it hold. We'll see. And I tell you what, the damn thing didn't budge. Our plan ops guys were stunned. I was stunned when it was still standing throughout that event. I'm like, all right, all right, this is good. And then another funny thing, we're in the middle of football season, and we're a little known for our food at the football games. They make some great carne asada tacos and chicken
Heck yeah.
tacos, and oh my God, it's so good. But with that, we're standing there in the middle of the game, and all of a sudden I start getting pings, alerts, 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 AQI, AQI, AQI. I'm like, it's 8 o'clock at night. AQI is fine. I'm looking around. I'm looking at my colleague Joel and Victoria. I'm like, what the hell's going on? And we look up. Well, the big barbecue, they've got like three giant barbecues that are like 5, 6 feet long. I don't know what they are. And they're just grilling like a champ to keep up with everybody. And I look up and all the smoke's going right at the system. I'm like, oh,
Yeah,
okay.
we hear a lot. One of our suggestions is always never put it by a fan outside of your cafeteria. We have never needed to account for taco trucks for carne asada on Friday night. So that's one of the things that I'm going to start adding when I have these meetings. I'm like, look, if you have a taco truck coming in on Friday, you're going to want to
Yep.
put this thing somewhere where that carne asada isn't getting to
Yeah,
it.
make sure that wind from the barbecue doesn't blow right at it because that threw us off. We sat there going, there's no way. There's no way. And we look up. Oh, yeah, there is a way, but we're okay, guys. Coach looked at me. He was really concerned. He's like, why the hell am I getting a ping in the middle of football? Coach, don't worry about it. We're good. It's the
He's like, got to stop eating his taco, look up, pull out his phone. It's a
tacos.
whole process.
Totally, totally. Well, I tell you what. I appreciate you. I appreciate, the collegial relationship we've created over the last year. And I appreciate your company and how transparent they've been, how helpful they've been. I mean, there have been a few games out here with our microclimates in California where we didn't know what to do, where we were going. And we got a hold of you. We texted the meteorologist. They gave us the information and tried to be as accurate as possible. We had games move. Time frame wise, because of the meteorologist's recommendation. So I want to say thank you for the health and safety of all my students and the students and fans that were there. So thank you to you and your company. I appreciate everything you guys do.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for that. We're thankful for you guys too. I'm thankful that when I get to go to CATA, I have a group that I can kind of cling to a little bit and hang out with while we're there. And I tell everybody this when I'm on. We've just developed such great relationships with you, Tim, all these different ATs and ADs throughout Southern California that it's very, very easy to, when we're meeting with a new prospect or customer, pass them off somebody's information for you all to speak with them. And I always say that our current customers are our best sales reps in California. So we love working with you guys and we're very grateful for the relationship.
Well, I appreciate that. I don't know if you want to throw Tim in that category. I mean, that's always an iffy one, but
Listen, man, Tim, every time I see him, it's like those sunglasses are glued to his face. I swear he just keeps those things on. He's wearing them. And I mean, I saw him at CATA. Of course, he walks in sunglasses and everything. We did a little video testimonial that I'll send to a lot of customers. And if somebody knows him, they're like, look at this rock star here with his sunglasses on out at the field and everything. He's a celebrity, not only in Southern California and the sports medicine world, but here at Periweather too.
I'm so sorry about that, man. I'm really sorry. For those of you who don't know, Tim's a good friend of mine. We worked side by side at high schools in the league for, well, 28 years now. He's been there much longer than I have, but we joke with each other all the time, whether it's with Marshall, through Marshall, back and forth via email, text. He's co-hosted a few times on here. He's going to be co-hosting another episode coming up. We just joke back and forth, but you only tease the guys you like, so.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully he's not driving this time like he was when y'all did the wet bulb globe temperature one around this time last year. We were listening to that. And I think when either you introduced him or he was like, sorry, I couldn't hear, I'm driving. I was like, God, Tim, what are you doing?
Yep. Come on, buddy. Be smarter than that. Be
Legendary
safe.
for a
Be safe.
reason.
Yeah. Totally. Totally. I don't want to take too much of your day. You've got work you got to do. I know I've got work I got to do, but. Any advice for someone looking at your system, trying to figure out the pluses and minuses, what they want to do? Any piece of advice on what they should do, who they should talk to, or what they should think about before they pull the trigger?
Where you should go, you can go to our website, perryweather.com. Recently renovated, our marketing team is phenomenal. They spend a lot of time working on that. We do have an education tab in our website so that you can see not only just schools in general how they use it, but schools in California use it. Like I mentioned, there's that video testimonial that we have of Tim on there, hear from someone in California themselves how they use the system. If you directly want to get in touch with somebody, you can always send me over an email, marshall@perryweather.com, or submit a 2-week free trial through our website, test drive it yourself, see if it's something that you want to take a look at. And really, what I would say to consider whether or not it's something for you is the best way to do it is by giving it a try through that 2-week free trial. You can get very caught up in your routine, maybe not think that it's interrupting a lot of your day, having to take those wet bulb globe temperature readings, maybe how much you're asked to be a meteorologist. Another big one that I would mention is, I don't know, Eli, if it's something that you guys use or not, but if you have parents that want visibility into how these decisions are being made for practices, that's something that we take care of as well. And so all those things are reasons that you should test it out, reasons that you should take a look and see if it's something that would work for you guys.
And that last little bit is the widget builder that you talk about that you can post online so everybody can see.
Yep.
Yep. It's a nice little tool to have. So people, and I say people, I mean the parents and even the kids. The kids come up to me all the time. Hey, Mr. Halleck, are we close? Can we
Are we
call practice?
practicing?
Come
Yeah,
on,
yeah,
coach. Come on, Mr.
yeah,
Halleck.
yeah.
Can we cancel? I need to go home. I need to go home and study for an exam
Yeah.
tomorrow. They love Perry Weather and they love me when we say, yep, practice is over, boys. You're
It's
good.
canceled. You're good.
Yep.
Yeah. Get to spread some good news. Maybe if they lost the big game on Friday or something like that, they're like, oh, we don't want to be here now. But yeah, it's all those reasons are reasons to at least try it out. It's completely free. And also talk to schools around you, see if any of them are using Perry Weather and then see how they use it. We've heard from several people that they like to take what they call field trips over to, a Loyola, a St. Francis, a Sierra Canyon, a Corona Norco, whatever it may be. Go take a field trip over to one of those schools, see how risk management is using it, how PE uses it, how ADs, ATs use it, and give us a shout and see how we can help.
Thanks, buddy. I appreciate it. Thanks for jumping on the call today and being willing to talk about Perry Weather and everything we went through over the year together. We're going to have you back because we're going to do a end of the year roundup next this upcoming summer and talk about everything we went through. Oh my God.
Let's do it.
Get a few ATs on. We'll discuss the pluses, the minuses, the pitfalls, and everything we went through together just as a, I think, a mental venting session. So I appreciate your time.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Thank you so much, Eli, for having me. Gabe, I know you're not here, but Gabe, thank you for all your help as well. And hopefully get to see you soon.
Yep, have a good one, buddy.
You
Thanks for
too.
being on Wrap It Up Sports Medicine More. Have a great day. We hope you enjoyed this episode. Want to make sure you hear every episode? Remember to like, follow, and subscribe to our podcast. Don't forget to share our podcast with your colleagues, family, and friends. Your support will help more people find and enjoy our content. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is directed by Eli Halleck. It is produced by Gabriel Halleck. Our theme music is by Coma Studios via Pixabay. The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are solely those of the contributors. Want to know more about us? Visit us at wrapituppodcast.com. That's with one P, wrapituppodcast.com. Wrap It Up Sports Medicine and More is a production of Halleck Consulting, LLC.